The sun might be shining, but you're still stuck inside. It's the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am a host, Sean. Other host, Daniel. How are you, man?
I'm rethinking my life at this point right now.
Is it because you've never felt so critical in the economy before? Are you a hero?
Dude, they, like...
Did you go from zero to hero?
I've always been zero. I've gone from zero to, like, zero plus one.
0 times 100?
As long as I don't go to zero divided by zero, we'll be fine. But, like, because of Amazon, my job, you know, we've been forced to go to, like, a six-day schedule instead of just a five-day. So they have, like, some people work Monday through Friday and some people work Tuesday through Saturday. But they never expected it to get really busy outside of Christmas time on Saturdays, so they didn't hire too many people.
And then expected
people that worked Monday through Friday to come in for overtime on Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so on Friday, they were like pretty much begging me to come in. Like, if you just come in for like a couple hours, we'll let you go home and this and that. And then,
dude, if you come in, man, we will touch your pee-pee at this point.
Right. And like, I've heard those promises.
We'll add another jug of soap into the soap bar, in the soap tub.
Well, yeah, we'll give you another jug of soap. We'll chain another soap jug to the sink. But I've heard those promises before, but then, so like, I told him I'll see how I feel because I was just tired and out of it. And then Friday night I fell asleep earlier than I expected and mm-hmm. pretty much slept like a solid 12 hours.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
So did you go to work or did you sleep through your alarm?
I didn't even set my alarm. Yeah. Like I slept from like 9 o'clock at night till 9 o'clock in the morning and I was supposed to wake up. If I went to work, I would have had to wake up at like 1:30 or 1:30 in the morning.
That sounds terrible.
Yes.
Yeah. You're basically third shift without being called third shift.
Yes. I'm like the first shift of the day.
You are literally like 2 hours away from being considered third shift.
Yes. But then the way the shifts work, you know, because I'm the shift that loads the package cars, so I'm like the first shift of the day. And then the package cars come in and then everything else happens after.
You got to get into the brown trucks.
Yes.
Load them up. Load them.
But no, Sean, that's not why I'm reevaluating my life choices right now.
Got you. Is it because did you choose a terrible beer?
Plural.
Beers.
So, it was announced a couple months ago, like end of March, that everyone's favorite clown rap group that is, according to them, based in Detroit, but according to Eminem, not based in Detroit because they haven't seen a mile marker south of 12. The Insane Clown Posse. They for some reason announced that they're going to be hosting a craft beer, like a beer thing / concert
mm-hmm.
in LA.
Interesting.
And so then they decided to come out with 3 Insane Clown Posse beers that were brewed by Inland Empire Brewing Company.
Really?
Yes. Oh, and funny story about Inland Empire Brewing Company. You know, I told you that Brew Rebellion and all their douchiness went out of business.
Yes.
Well, apparently, like, before they went out of business, they kind of, like, partnered up somehow with Inland Empire Brewing Company. And after Brew Kaipa closed down, after Brew Rebellion closed down, they sent their people over and displaced the brewer and stuff at Inland Empire Brewing Company. So basically, Inland Empire Brewing Company is owned by the same owners, but it's being brewed by the Brew Rebellion people.
Really? So they got rid of the original crew, or they just added staffing?
They displaced. They got rid of the original brewer and stuff.
So I guess that brew company is also going to be going out of business.
I don't know. I know your mom likes to go there because it's relatively close to her house.
Is it poor beer or poor marketing?
Why, Brew Rebellion out of business?
Yeah.
I think it was just poor beer because, like, they promised the world, like, they had these beers that were supposed to be, like, cereal flavored. to the point where, like, they would wax the bottles and then roll the wax in the cereal. And then you drank it and it tasted nothing like the cereal.
I remember this conversation.
So, these beers, they're called Frothy Whoop Dub Clown Craft Beer. It says, sip some, get dumb, trip, and get lit some on one can. On the other can, it says, sippin', tastin', and slurpin', soon you'll be wasted and burpin'. And then the last one says, love it or hate it, shit'll get you faded.
That was so bad, it gave me cancer. Just so and bad. So like, I just feel like, did they have, like, a seizure trying to think about and write that?
Dude, this is the same rap group that, like, their biggest claim to fame is, like, the Magnets meme. How do they even work? And so, at this one highly respectable beer bottle shop that I go to, El Cerrito Liquor, they actually had some of the four packs there. And so I just ended up buying one of each can, because I'm not going to buy a full four pack.
I was glad. I thought you bought 3-4 packs for a second. Oh, God, like, no. Man, you invested poorly.
I mean, I bought one of each, and I think I invested poorly, but they don't have...
Yeah, at least you did enough for science.
Yes, so they don't have the kind of beer it is. They just have, like, they're color-coded. So there's a pink one, a blue one, and a purple can. And they have different... They have classy names like Needin' Wet, Blue Balls, and Punk Slap.
I feel like it would be better if they just made, like, 3 different malt liquors. I think they'd be more true to their origin story.
Right. And so, this one's 4.5%. They're all 4.5%, so I'm guessing it's all the same base beer, and they just added food coloring and possibly flavoring to the beers, because the blue one and the purple one both look purple.
Maybe that... Jesus. Maybe they look like... It's probably the old guys from Rebellion that were like, dude, we're going to make Inland Empire Brewery explode. We got Insane Clown Posse. We're going to make this shit good.
They smell like if you took, like, a shitty Hefeweizen and let, like, an Otter Pop melt and pour that into the Hefeweizen.
On all 3 of them?
Yes, but different, like, the red one and the blue one and the purple one, except... Like I said, the blue one still looks purple. Apparently the red dye number 5 or whatever they used is a little too powerful.
So you've tasted all 3 of them?
I'm in the process right now. The red one tastes like nothing. I mean, they smell like bad Hef. But not like super bad, just boring, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, that tastes like blue.
How does a beer taste like blue?
Well, like when you have like the blue Otter Pop or like blue raspberry can't, like lollipops, Jolly Ranch, there's no flavor. It's just blue. Right? I'm going to get a drink of water because.
Are you going to be able to make it survive the show?
If I just take like another sip or this or two, then I'll be fine. Right, here comes the purple one. That doesn't even taste like anything. At least the blue one tasted like blue.
You mean they couldn't find any bigger brewer to like make this so they could distribute it like nationally?
I don't think they want it. I mean, it was supposed to be for this like event that, ironically enough, Insane Clown Posse was like one of the first people to cancel their event from the COVID-19. You would have thought, like, with the Juggalos and all that, they're like, fuck it, let's do it anyways. But no, they're like, let's be respectful to the you know, each other, and, like, we'll just cancel this event and figure something else out in the future. So apparently Insane Clown Posse is more respecting of other people than, like, you know, the conservatives in, like, Huntington Beach and Michigan that stormed the Capitol building with Nazi flags and assault rifles. Because this is America.
America. Do to do.
Do to do. Sean, please save the show.
What's up?
Please save the show.
Oh, all right. From the convenient brewery of my basement, Bar One, I got an orange gose.
Orange?
Orange? Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?
You're supposed to. I thought it was supposed to be lime, tequila, lime. Did you? Is this a previous one you made, or did you change your mind?
You are incorrect. So this is a previous one. I did brew the tequila lime one. It's still in the fermenter. It's still in the process.
Okay.
So the orange gose I did a couple weeks ago. So I unfortunately my. Everything I did with this one, it was all, like, with hopes and dreams because my scale broke. So I don't know exactly how much orange and orange peel I put into it. So it was kind of like a leap of faith. And then I just did teaspoons for the salt. Even the hops, I was like, well, a package is worth 1 ounce. So if I put in, like, 40% of it, that would be like 0.4 of an ounce. So that works, right?
In theory, yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of theory base going on. So,
well, this is how you, like, if this turns out, then now you know you at least have like, well, even if it doesn't necessarily work out, but if it's not like horrible, you kind of know you have the ability to, I guess, improvise recipes and make your own recipes now.
Exactly. So, so with my gose, I did 2 pounds of Pilsen malt and 2 pounds of wheat with a 0.3 pounds of honey malt to give it kind of a little bit of some sweetness. We have a nice like cloud to the gose, which we're kind of looking for. Very you know, has a very strong yellow tint to it. Used lactic acid to kind of get it to that 3.5 pH that we're looking for. The only thing is because typically what I've seen is a lot of brewers like hit the pH down to 4.5 and then they put in different stuff into it to sour it and get it to the 3.5. But for whatever reason, I'm really struggling on getting the on doing it with any kind of bacteria. I always have to just hit it with lactic acid to get it to 3.5, which is supposed to give it a kind of manufactured sour taste, if that makes any sense.
Yes, very much so.
So, because I guess it doesn't, like, add the different flavors to it that you would expect from a sour. But it's got, it's probably a little too salty. So, in the lime one, I did tone down the salt. In the lime one, I'm actually using sea salt instead of a different salt, the Himalayan salt.
Okay. So,
because I figured sea salt would be better for margarita, in my opinion, anyways.
Right, and that generally, a lot of brewers seem to work with sea salt, so I don't know if it's, like, if the flavor comes through more, or if it just holds up to the brewing process better than other salts.
Yeah, it's a good question. I only bought the Himalayan salt because I was at TJ Maxx, and it was, like, I got, like, a 3 pound bag for, like, a stupid low price, so it was, like, sold.
Well, like, you don't think it's, like, TJ Maxx. I'm going to go there to see what kind of salts they have on sale.
Exactly. Like, I just go through the snack area to look for really random food snacks to eat or to buy. So, there's always, like, weird shit in there. And then you could always get, like, Starbucks coffee grounds for, like, really, really dirt cheap. So more you know.
This show is sponsored by TJ Maxx for all your discounts. Rejected Starbucks needs
and brewery supplies.
Yes.
Notice me, senpai. So you get like citrus notes, but on the taste though, you just don't get orange. So I don't know, because I did 3 pounds of orange, but again, that's, you know, that's just three oranges. Not necessarily did I get 3 pounds of like the inside into the beer, or and I didn't measure. I just took all the pulp that was there and added it in. So on the lime though, for my next gose, I did add 1.5 pounds of lime per gallon, and I did like 4 ounces of lime peel, which is about, because I typically was doing like 1 ounce per gallon, so this is 2 ounces per gallon. So definitely measured a lot more, and I really upped the citrus. So it'll be interesting to see what I got going on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that sounds like an awesome like summer pool or lawn cutting or barbecue and beer.
Exactly. And the nice thing is the Philly Brew Store, which is conveniently down the street from me, does deliveries. So you just put in your recipe or you put in what you want, and they just come over, drop it on your door, and then call you, and they're like, your stuff's there. So it's like you don't even have to leave. You don't even have to like crush your own grain. It's a really nice system.
Nice. Now, if they really wanted to like be customer service forward, you could just leave your basement door open or something like that, and they could just go in there and start the mash for you.
True. Or you know what? They don't have to do that. If they could just go back and clean up everything for me, I'd really much more appreciate that.
If you buy like a bunch of their like cleaning supplies, free cleaning with every purchase.
Yeah. Remember, kids, if you want to get into home brewing, it's 30% brewing, 70% cleaning.
Well, no, you missed a step. It's probably more like 68% cleaning and like 2% drinking.
True. That
is 30% brewing, 68% cleaning, and 2% drinking. you don't want to completely discourage them and crush their dreams and hopes.
Exactly. You You know how long it took to peel 25 limes? Shit takes a while.
Well, that's why, like, you know, back when Hangar 24 was actually using real fruit, and then, like, Hamilton Brewing and Rancho, they kind of do the same thing with their watermelons. And there's another, what's it called? Wix. They do the same thing, too, where they have, like, quote-unquote, like, fruit peeling parties, where it's, like, They take a bunch of – have people volunteer, and then it's like, yeah, come and like for Hamilton it's watermelon. For Hangar 24 was oranges, and I think Wix was oranges too. But it's like, come and peel oranges and we'll give you free beer while you do it.
Yeah, I remember. Doesn't Hangar 24 does a pumpkin beer too, right?
Oh, yeah. When they would do their pumpkin beer, they would do the same thing too. And, yeah, breweries do that too when they do pumpkin, like when they actually use real pumpkin.
Yeah.
I don't think Hangar 24 has done those for a while, so I'm guessing that either they have enough staff – or they just don't use real fruit anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good question. I wonder which. Because I always this conversation makes me go back and think of the brewery out in Cincinnati, because they do 100% real fruit, and they only distribute really to Ohio, but, man, they really distribute a lot of beer, and that's a lot of fruit going through that brewery.
Right, and I mean, it would make sense, like, in a brewery in Redlands to go through a ton of oranges because they're still in an area that's relatively surrounded by orange groves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Cincinnati's a hotbed for fruit.
No, they're not. So, but, yeah, it makes me want to think. So, speaking of homebrew, it's like, now I'm like, what do I do next? Do I do another? I've done, like, 2 gozes. And I think I want to do a dessert stout or porter. But I haven't figured out what I want to do. Because I do have some leftover cedar that I want to probably maybe soak up in some whiskey or bourbon, and maybe I'll do like a maple bourbon beer.
Why don't you throw the cedar in there with some Screwball?
Oh, do like a peanut butter?
Yeah, like maybe even like a peanut butter maple. I don't know if that's too much, but
would peanut butter and maple go together? I guess I eat peanut butter and maple syrup on my pancake, so it's good enough.
Right. And there's a company, it's called Bliss Because Life Is Short.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell like bourbon barrel aged maple syrups.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to find smaller bourbon barrels and maple barrels. It's not very easy to find tequila barrels. So I had to do, for my margarita gose, I had to just buy, like, cedar barbecue planks, and I soaked it for a week in tequila to give it that tequila flair.
Right. Oh, man. Must be nice.
It is nice, or terrible, depending on how you look at it.
Did you at least buy a decent tequila?
I did. I didn't buy shit tequila, because then I used the leftover tequila to make, and the leftover limes to make margaritas.
There you go. Yeah, because, like, the rule of, like, especially, like, with cooking is, like, with wine or whatever, it's, like, don't cook with wine you wouldn't drink, because then your food's going to taste like that.
Exactly.
If you're not going to want to drink it, then why are you going to want to eat it?
Yeah. It's a tequila I haven't really used. I've never bought before, but it was like a highly rated tequila for 2020. So it was like a smaller bottle. So I'll have to look for the name. I can't remember what it's called. I was looking for a really fancy one that came in like a nice glass, but it looks like the big liquor store by me didn't have it, so I was a little disappointed. It was probably going to end up being like a $60 bottle of tequila, I bet. It probably would have been too expensive.
Right. So there was this, La Bodega posted this tequila that they had that was like handmade and limited edition and stuff. And so I'm like, well, it's not going to be cheap, but I went in there because I was going to see how much it was. And if it was reasonably priced, and by reasonably, I mean like $80 or less.
Mm-hmm.
I would have picked it up.
$200.
I had one bottle. What's that?
Was it 200?
Almost. It was like 170.
Oh, damn. That's a lot of money.
So needless to say, I don't have it.
You don't do enough for the show, man. That's not very good of you. Dude.
I have three of the worst beers I've ever tasted in my entire life sitting in front of me. I sacrificed Sean. And I'm still kind of drinking it too. Like I said, the blue one is actually not the worst because it tastes like blue, like the blue Otter Pops.
Is it where you try the worst one and then when you go back and try the blue one, it doesn't taste that bad anymore?
I don't even know. Like, the purple one is by far the worst. Like, I don't even know what happened there. That's just, like, some sort of weird abomination. And I feel bad, I want to feel bad shitting on them, but it's their fault for making this beer. And, like, you know, again, when we had the conversation with Jamie from Core Brewing in Arkansas, and he's, like, said, like, when you have a bad beer come out bad, you dump it. You don't release it. You hide that shame, and you swallow the cost.
Yeah.
But then I guess when this is like contractually sent out, they're like, maybe the brewers weren't happy with it, but like the Insane Clown Posse and their tasters.
This were is like, some good shit.
Yeah. This is some craft beer shit. This is better than the stuff that we normally drink. When my brother was like in boot camp in the Marines, then he would get like weekends off, and so like that he would come home because he was just down in camp down in San Diego. So he would come home for the weekend. It was like an hour and a half drive up to Riverside. But then my mom would tell him, it's like, yeah, you can bring a, he would talk about people that he knew that were stuck on base that like lived out of state, and there were these two guys that my brother was friends with in boot camp that lived in the Detroit area, mm-hmm. And one huge Insane Clown Posse fan, and I'm like. I bet that fucking juggalo would like this shit.
It's like you're on a dating site and, everything seems fine. You go on the first date, everything seems going well. And then it's like at the end of the night, she's like, I just want to let you know I like Insane Clown Posse. You're just like, well, this was a waste of my time. I'm out.
Or, like, you're just talking to her and all of a sudden, like, you see, like, a jug, like either partial or full Juggalo tattoo on her arm or something.
Yeah, as the shirt's coming off. Oh, I really shouldn't do
well, this. Well, not even necessarily when the shirt's coming off, but like when she goes to like at dinner, when she goes to like reach for a glass of water, her glass or her utensil or something like that, and it just lifts up a little bit just enough on her shirt so you can see it.
They should just make a Juggalo dating website. It would save everybody a lot of time.
Like ChristianMingle.com or FarmersOnly.com?
Exactly.
Juggalos only. Oh, man. So, before we get ourselves murdered, because apparently they're, like, fiercely loyal to the band, far more than we would be to anything else. So, I don't know. Maybe fierce enough to where they would lie that they think this beer is good.
Maybe.
I think
you guys made it? Oh, no, it's good. Don't worry, bro. Super good.
Yeah. It's like those videos where it's like, you know, these liberal college students hate these Trump quotes until we tell them that a Democrat said them. It's like, like shit. And it's like it's the frothy whoop-dub. I mean, this tastes like it's the shit. You misunderstood me. So, you know, with all that's going on, a lot of like breweries and distilleries have kind of, especially distilleries, ceased their normal production and started making hand sanitizer to donate to like hospitals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And even like Hangar 24 and other, and like King's Brewing and a couple other breweries have made hand sanitizer that they sold or gave away to customers, right?
Yes.
So apparently in Maui, in Hawaii, they have really strict, crazy like liquor laws. Like one of them is like if you go in and order a growler, you have to leave by a certain time or you can't take the growler out with you. Like 10 p.m. Like even though the place closes at midnight,
yeah,
like you can't walk out. Even if you ordered it at like 8 p.m. and you're there past 10, you can't take the growler out with you. So,
jeez,
you know, I heard telling a story that they were out there and they went to one of to the Maui Brewing Company and he got a growler of beer. And shortly before 10 o'clock, he had to go outside, hide it in the bushes so he can go back inside and finish drinking.
That's ridiculous.
So what Maui Brewing Company was doing was they made their hand sanitizer, and they were giving it away free with any purchase. And they got – they're under investigation right now and possibly like being threatened to be shut down because of the law where breweries can't give away – items that retail for more than a certain amount with their beer.
Gotcha.
So, but their argument, their argument is like, no, we didn't say you had to buy a beer. You could have bought a sticker, you could have bought a hat, or you could have bought a beer. Like it wasn't necessarily a, you know, we weren't using it to promote the beer. We're just giving it away to anybody who bought something. It was like, hey, here's a freebie. Like recently I ordered something from Beer Personality, the Beer Zombie. I ordered a glass and a couple bandanas, and he threw some stickers in there, which I guess wouldn't be a problem because each sticker retails under a certain amount. But places do that, you know, they throw in freebies.
Yeah,
and they said that like with good conscience they couldn't sell they didn't want to sell the hand sanitizer, and so there's like a change.org petition going around, and even like some of the city officials are like, yeah, but it's a county issue. We don't have any control. Like, we can go and talk to them, but we're not going to promise it's going to do any good.
Damn the law.
Breaking exactly. The
law. Giving a hand sanitizer out to save people. Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
Right, and they're like, look, man, what's going on, dude? It's not like we're not profiting off of this. We're not advertising, hey, come buy a keg of beer and get a gallon of free hand sanitizer. It's like, hey, just come in and, like, be a customer. And we'll, as our appreciation for being a customer in these hard times, we'll give you free hand sanitizer because we know everybody needs that shit anyways.
Yeah.
So I know we like to shit on AB InBev on this show, right?
We do. Well, technically they're monsters in a sense. Corporate beer.
So I figure with all, you know, in the interest of fairness, when they actually do something human and decent, maybe we should mention that too.
Probably. I guess it keeps it fair, right? If you report the good and the bad, it's easier to really critique them and think that they're shitty.
Right. When we say that they've done good things, and then we say like, oh yeah, also they're monsters, then they can be like, well, at least they acknowledge they did good, so they're not just like followers, sheep type podcast that just or beer people that blindly shit on them for no reason.
Hey, we shit on everybody, regardless. Nobody is safe on this show.
Especially the frothy whoop dubs.
Wub 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 wub.
Oh, and I forgot to read the best part. Whiff it, taste it, like it, take it to the face.
That's what I tell all the girls.
Exactly. Exactly. Again, keeping it classy for the Insane Clown Posse. So anyways, back to InBev. So one of the things they did a couple things during this whole coronavirus thing. They donated $1 million to a fund that helped like the people that were displaced like from breweries and restaurants. And I know people are going to say like, well, for how much money they make, you know, they're $1 million is nothing. But one of the things people don't realize is that they're like $150 billion in the hole. Or at least they were before they sold, you know, like Ballast Point and a couple other of their poor purchases. But then they also, for bars and stuff that were forced to close down, they told them that they would, no questions asked, accept returns of outdated beer. So they didn't have to like dump the beer. They would just be like, oh, you have a keg that you ordered before you got shut down, mm-hmm. and now you can't sell it because it's out of date and it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Just send it back. We'll give you back your money.
Well, that's not bad.
So then they also raised everybody's pay mm-hmm. that works for them. And the people that were basically displaced because like the people that went out and like the sellers and stuff like that went to like the bars and stuff that were shut down.
Yeah.
Instead of laying them off, they basically kept them employed and reassigned them to work at like local food banks.
Gotcha.
But they paid them their normal InBev pay.
That's pretty nice of them.
Yes. And so, again, you know, each individual thing isn't much, but when you add all those together, it's not gonna be cheap. It's not, you know, especially like I said, when they're in debt. And one, you can't expect one company to save the world, but they're doing their fair share, it seems like.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So Sean, people have been kind of complaining. Who's, you know, complaining? Like, well, about the whole like people are buying less comic books.
Yeah, they probably are. To think of it too, you can't even buy it. You probably haven't been able to buy a comic book in the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
You know what? I kept meaning to like text Adam if he was open, because I know some places were saying they were kind of sort of open for curbside and stuff. But then because he moved and my shitty work schedule, I just didn't feel like driving extra to go get it. Because especially if he's there, you know, we end up talking and stuff. So it ends up being like an extra hour and a half to 2 hours before I get home after I leave work than if I just went straight home, right? Between the drive, the bullshitting.
Yeah. If I was there, you would go hang out with me.
Well, I mean, that's the problem, is I would hang out with Adam too, but he also moved. Like, he used to be like 5 blocks away from me. Now he's like another like 45 minutes to an hour out of my way round trip.
True.
So, but I got a text from the store, not him necessarily, but the store saying that they're open. So I don't know if that's new because of like Riverside County just, or because California's kind of like started the slow roll of allowing certain places to open. So, but then I know like Diamond stopped distributing comics like a couple weeks ago. They're like, yeah, there's no new comics coming. So we know you guys are closed anyway, so there's no point.
Yeah, that's fair. It's crazy to think like, yeah, man, it's hard to say how the industry is going to, especially like all the little independent publishers, what are they going to do without getting that, you know, every time they release a book, it's like they need it to sell out to get as much of that money back.
Right. And like, and I think one of the things that's hurting the comic industry that people aren't talking about is like the DC Unlimited or whatever it's called, and then the Marvel you can basically subscribe and get all the comic books ever written by ever produced by those publishers.
Mm-hmm.
Digitally.
Are they still releasing new books on their apps?
I don't know if they're releasing new books. I haven't heard anything about that, but I just know that there's no reason to go buy physical if you can. Especially like the DC one seems to be the best value because you also get the like the not only do you get the comics but you get the TV shows.
Oh wow, that is pretty impressive.
So you get like the Titans show, the Harley Quinn show, and Young Justice, and whatever else they're like putting straight to that service. Plus all like you get early access to the all the animated movies when they come out.
Yeah.
So, but then they also announced that they're going to like change HBO Go or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
The HBO Go or HBO Max.
Hmm.
I don't know, Sean. You paid for it. I didn't.
I think it's HBO Go. I don't know. I don't pay for HBO Go. I steal that from my mom.
Okay, but anyways, you use it. You use it.
I've only used it for Game of Thrones, and I still haven't gone back and watched
season 8.
Season 8, and I know Westworld came out too, but I haven't watched Westworld season 2 or 3 yet. I'm very behind on shows.
You also need to watch The Watchmen, even though that like ended up they like I guess set up to be continuing and then they canceled it after one season.
Who watches The Watchmen?
Apparently, not enough people. But that kind of goes back to my point of the whole thing with comics. You know, there's that meme where they're like sitting in the office and there's like the boss asks a question and there's like three employees and one of the guy gives a kiss-ass answer. The second guy gives another kiss-ass answer and the third guy like says something shocking and then the next panel is him being thrown out the window.
Yes.
So I'm sure it's kind of like that. It's like, why are people buying less comics? And they're like, and the first guy's like, maybe it's because there's too many women and minorities in the comics instead of just white people. And the second guy's like, maybe it's because, I don't know, something else. And then the third guy's like, I don't know, maybe it's because you fucking cancel comics too often. And then he gets thrown out the window.
Yeah.
Because I've been reading this comic and enjoying the shit out of this comic called The Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that they were done with releasing it because it had been a while. Even by Image's standards, it had been a while since an issue came out. So there's 29 issues. And so I read the 29th issue and ended kind of on a cliffhanger. And, like, I haven't been to the comic book store since this, pretty much, like, the beginning of January.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, maybe issues have come out in the couple months since I've been there. And so I went on the Wikipedia to see, and it said that it was supposed to be a 31-issue story, and they released 29 issues, and then they canceled 30 and 31.
Hmm.
I was so pissed.
I don't blame you at all, man.
Like, I'd understand getting, like, a couple issues in, but at this point, you literally have 2 issues left. Just finish the story. It's not that hard. Come on.
They can't, dude. It's too hard.
And it's not like it's, like, you know, it's not like a super small publisher. It's Image Comics.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just, this is why we can't have nice things.
Right? And it was a really good story. So basically, the story is that there was an STD going around, and everybody started calling it the beauty because basically it made you beautiful and like athletic and stronger and stuff. And so they would almost like have like, you know, people would have measles parties and chicken pox parties for kids. Like people, like they would find out that someone had the beauty and they would like have orgies to try to spread it around.
Oh my God.
but then there was a, you know, I'm just going to spoil the shit out of this book because I'm not even... If it finished, I would have recommended everyone to read this, but there's no point because...
We can't finish no it. End.
Yes. Like the bluest of balls ever. Yes. Even bluer than the blue frothy woof dub called Blue Balls.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the side effect is at some point, you internally combust.
Well, that sucks.
Yes. Like as it was getting to the end, people, they were kind of starting to figure out, wait, these cases are all tied together. Like, people just don't catch on fire for no reason. It's tied to the beauty. But, like, these companies were trying to suppress that information because they were making money off of it somehow. But then, like, so there was, like, this lab, especially this lab. And so, like, there was, like, you know, whistleblowers and people stealing information and the media getting involved and people being murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And there was these like this one couple basically going like vigilante style after this mafia family that killed some of their friends for like trying to be whistleblowers on the beauty.
Yeah.
And the cops, they have like a task force assigned to it. And so they were all kind of like the vigilante couple found out, we're like going to go kill the head of the mafia family, but he wasn't where he was supposed to be, according to their information. And then there was a guy there, and he said that he was in Puerto Rico. And they ended with the mafia guy like standing like in front of a window in Puerto Rico saying, you know, today is going to be a beautiful day. As he like got out of bed from like with this like half naked Puerto Rican. Well, pretty much mostly. Well, yeah, because you saw boobies. That's one of the things about the comic too, is they show boobies, but they also show dick.
gotta give everybody something.
Right.
A little something something.
But yeah, so it ended like they were like getting ready to go down to Puerto Rico to like try out a way to find a way to kill him. And he looked out his window and he had like a bunch of people like standing guard in front of his gate in his courtyard area saying, today is going to be a beautiful day. End of issue. end of run, apparently.
End of run. That's your ending.
That's ending, yes.
What a fantastic ending.
Right? 2 issues away.
I don't even know what to say, man.
Right.
Terrible news.
It's like, I understand, like, you know, I mean, like the Kevin Smith rule. Because, like, when Kevin Smith did the, years ago when he did his first book, the Black Cat book.
Mm-hmm.
The evil, the things that men do are the things that men do, something like that. Mm-hmm. Where it was 8 years between, like, issues at one point. And then when he, like, kind of got back into writing for DC, they basically told him, it's like, look, we're not going to put out the first issue until you're done writing the fourth, like the final issue. So they just gave him like 4-issue mini stories of Batman, which are actually pretty good. Like the Widening Gyre is one of them.
Yeah, that one was pretty decent.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty good. And then he had Walt, one of the guys that runs the comic book store, he does do the art. And he's surprisingly good artist. Yeah, he did all the art on all of them, Walt Flanagan. But yeah, so they and then Jon Favreau was supposed to do like a three issue arc of an Iron Man comic,
mm-hmm.
where he actually got to write Tim's Iron Man fighting Fing Fang Foom.
Mm.
That's what he wanted to do in the movies, but apparently they released the first issue, and then they also, that's when he stepped down as director of Iron Man, and he's also like, yeah, I'm not finishing this book.
How is the book not even fully written before they start just publishing shit?
Right, especially when you've got somebody like a guest who's, you know, they're going to be busy, like a director or somebody who works in another industry where they have like a real job, quote unquote, and writing.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Right, and so like the story was pretty cool on that one. Like they were on a plane and this guy's like a terrorist and like stands up and he's like has like a bomb strapped to him and he's like threatens to blow up the plane. And Tony Stark's on the plane, and he just, like, suits up and, like, flies the guy out of the plane and blows him up. And he comes back, and he's like, all right, now back to the plane to get my applause. And they get back in, and they're like, he wasn't going to hurt us. He just wanted something. Like, why did you have to go and kill him? Like, everyone on the plane was pissed at him. He's like, screw this, I'm going to Vegas. And then when he was in Vegas, like, just scorpions were, like, swarming out of the desert. As he was like chilling by the pool with like a couple of like ladies in skimpy bikinis, and that's how it ended. That's the whole. That's all you get out of a 3-story arc.
Yeah, it is.
and yet they wonder why people aren't buying comics. You know, again, they're undermining themselves by releasing everything digitally on a subscription service, and then they're doing shit like this by not finishing books.
Exactly.
That's, you know,
all there is. That's all there is, right, to say.
Like if I was like casual, like comic book casual, and didn't have a comic book store, like I would just go to Barnes and Noble when they had like the buy 2 get 1 free graphic novel sales and just pick up whatever graphic novels looked interesting, as opposed to like buying each individual issue.
Yeah, no, I would say so. I would say that too for the smaller publishers, just because some of them, it feels like it takes so long for all the whole series to come out that it's almost worth just waiting for the trade so that way you could just power through it and at one go.
Right. Especially like the one that was worst about it and then got like he's gotten a lot better is Joe Benitez over at Big Dog Inc. with Lady Mechanica.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought, like...
He's at Big Dog Inc. now?
Wasn't he at Big Dog Inc.?
No, he wasn't. Big Dog Inc. was that take on...
Oh, the fairy tales.
Yeah, the fairy tale stuff. I forget. I think he made his own publishing for Lady Mechanica.
Maybe later on, but I could have swore. Yeah, Joe Benitez is the publisher, but I could have Benitez Productions is the publisher, but I could have swore. Maybe that's why it took forever.
I think he had a falling out with the original publisher, and he basically fought them and just kind of stopped writing the series and then republished everything under the new publisher, and I think it started getting momentum from like actually being published after that.
Right, because it was forever, and then all of a sudden it was like one a month for a good long while. Like, mm-hmm. And he would be coming, and he did it smart too, because he would come out with like anywhere from like 2 to 4 issue story arcs.
Mm-hmm.
And funnily enough, one of the 2 colorists listed is Beth Sotelo. Do you recognize the name, Sean?
It does sound familiar. I just can't.
She's married to Joel Gomez.
Oh, yes. That's right. That's right. She was a nice lady.
She was. I haven't run into them for a while because I haven't been to a con for a while, and I think they're at Comic Con. They've been at Comic Con Revolution, but again, they postponed that till August. I don't know if they're going to have to push that back again, or if things are opening up soon enough.
I don't know. I feel like everything's just... I think it's like everything for 2020 canceled. We'll just pick it back up in 2021.
Pretty much. And it's hard. From what I've heard, it's pretty hard especially for like smaller cons to like once if they take a year off to like come back because people kind of forget about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm hoping that if things do come back, maybe like less people just go. Because I get tired of like being forced like crowded into like small rooms.
You don't want to feel like a sardine.
No. So Sean, weeb it up for us.
Weeb weeb weeb. Weeb weeb weeb. Do 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 do. Weeb weeb weeb. So this week I ended up watching the 2016 nominee for Best Anime of the Year, 25 episode ReZero. This one on r/anime has always gotten a lot of good press. A lot of people said this was like a really good anime. A lot of funny memes came from it. So I was like, all right, I finally broke down and watched it. And Danny, my only mistake is that I should have watched it a lot sooner. This was just a really, really well done anime that, and I don't know what it is. It seems like all animes that are like 24 episodes in one season, 25, are usually always the better ones to kind of watch, because it feels like they actually are able to put enough of a story together, and you get like 4 to 5 story arcs versus just like 2 or 3 rushed ones. You know what I mean? I guess you don't know what I mean, you bastard.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't leave you hanging there, man. I was like hoping you would like talk like long enough. I literally was almost back to the table. I had to get a palate cleanser because I don't just taste it, but I feel it in my mouth.
Oh, the shitty beer. You need a beer to get rid of the beer.
Yes.
What are you drinking this time?
Dude, I went like full authentic German on this one. Oh man, it pours nice and dark too. It's Curator Dunkler Doppelbock from Etaler Brewing. It's like it says that it's brewed using the original 1609 recipe. Says the Benedictine Abbey of Etel was founded by the Emperor Ludwig of Bavaria in 1330. The monastery houses various craft workshops such as the art of typography, the distillery, and the brewery. The latter boasts over 400 years of history as one of the last examples of the ancient and venerable tradition of monastic brewing in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It says it's brewed there, but it's canned in the U.S. by a company that's based out of Oxford, Connecticut. But the ingredients, water, barley, malt, hops, and yeast. According to the German purity laws, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not bad. A lot better.
Oh, so much better.
That's what happens when you drink nasty-ass shit.
Yes. So, sorry, that's why I like that. I thought you would just ramble on for a couple more seconds.
No. I was trying to make it engaging.
I ruined it. I'm literally why we can't have nice things. I've fessed up to that part.
Yeah. Man, thanks. Stop giving Danny compliments, please. He fucks it up.
Yeah, it's all Sean. Sean carries the show.
Me and my weeb tunes.
Exactly.
So ReZero is about... It's another where like somebody dies and goes into an alternate world. So it takes like they talk about it for like 10 seconds, and they don't really go back to they don't really talk about his like previous life at all or how he got there or anything. But he kind of ends up figuring out that he has the power to when he dies he goes like back to like a save point. The anime, though, is really, really fucking intense, though. Like, it is not, like, a very, like, slappy-go-happy kind of anime where you would think, like, oh, I could die and just figure out what's going on. Like, he doesn't have any powers or real skills, so he gets, like, killed very, like, brutal. So he's been, like, you know, he gets, like, stabbed and he's, like, literally just... laying there dying in a pool of his blood, like, you know, suffering from the pain. So it's interesting because he like in different story arcs he's like freaking out because he's like he keeps dying and it's very interesting how they mess with his head in that aspect. The world, so there's multiple like the one of the girls like he's hanging out with is trying to be queen, and you realize that there's four other ones, and they all have different things going on. And kind of during the story, you kind of get to know two of them for the most part. But man, dude, it was like watching this anime. It was like it like I laughed. Like I thought somebody was cutting onions in the room at one point for whatever reason because they're a big jerk. It was just like, man, it was just a very well written anime. And the best part is, Danny, is season 2 comes out this summer after being out for a long time, for about 4 years.
What service is this on? Well, at least that you watched it on.
I watched it on VRV.
Okay.
Yeah, so you could get it on VRV, so you could probably get it everywhere. It is an older anime, so I'm not really surprised that the exclusive rights have kind of jumped ship. I think I've seen it on Funimation as well.
Right. And if it's there, then it's probably kind of like Kill la Kill's on both VRV and Netflix.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean... It's a definitely one of the, you know, it's definitely like a top tier. Like, I don't know if it's my favorite anime, but it's just everything about it, though. I thought it was really well done, and it's like, and I'm giving it a 10 out of 10 score just because of the story, the complexity, how it was different. Everything about it was just so good. And the other point I want to make is I felt that way and I watched the dubbed version. So just dealing with like the English voice actors, it was still that good.
That's funny. apparently, friend of the show Manthing is getting caught up, or at least has gotten relatively close to getting caught up. And when I made the statement about how I will watch, you know, dubs, depending sometimes I prefer dubs over subs, depending on like what kind of mood I'm in and how much I really want to like pay attention.
Yes.
And he's like, I agree with you. He's like, but you're probably going to put it like a target on your head. And I just replied with the Eric Andre meme of how can you say something so controversial yet so brave?
True. I mean, but I mean, it is nice to take a break from it, man, dude, because you have to pay attention so much more. But I will say that is the only annoying thing that I've caught in some animes is like the English like dub version versus the what's it called? The
sub.
No, not the sub. When they
subtitles?
The subtitles, they don't match.
Yes.
I'm just like, how do they not match?
Right, that's like watching Kill la Kill and even like Agresetsugu, like sometimes it's like you read it and it's like, oh, the subtitle sound would have been better, or I'm glad they said what they said because the subtitle was kind of stupid. I guess you can like, it's like a choose your own adventure. You can like headcanon whichever of the two lines you prefer to be the one that was actually said.
Yeah.
Oh man, but I would watch these two movies, sequels, the Happy Birthday Death Day.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's about this girl that like it's her birthday and she dies, but then she like comes back to life and she's trying to figure out who her killer is.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing about it is that like if she gets stabbed like in the liver,
because
she ends up going to the doctors and they're like, what happened to you? Like you have all sorts of like trauma. Like it looks like you've been stabbed, but you have scarring here and you have this here. So it, like her injuries like, well they heal. When she comes back, it's like it wasn't like she was never hurt.
That is actually pretty interesting, because it doesn't happen to him, but he keeps like the same knowledge. So like he learned how to read like their language like being killed after multiple times. So it was kind of like he was like leveling up in a sense as well.
Right, but then they had it like affect her. So like. Like something happened and she's like, oh man, I'm just like, her body was like breaking down by the end of the movie because of all the different ways she was killed.
Yeah. No, definitely. No, that makes sense.
And then, so you recommended an anime for us to watch together, Sean, under the same big sky, somewhere out there in the world.
Under the rainbow.
Under the same big moon, whatever type of things. I think it's Eiffel Goes West. Anyways, so Sean, how would you pronounce this show?
I have no idea, man. Is it Gleipner? Gleipner?
Gleipner? Gleipner? Gleipner? Gleipner?
It's too complicated.
It is. It's too Japanese for my American ass to understand.
Oh man, dude. Were you able to start getting a couple episodes in?
I have not watched the most current episode, so I'm at the same point that you probably are at.
Then I am one episode above you because I watched the new episode came out today.
So. Okay, that's because I chose the one I preferred and I watched the new episode of My Life as a Villainess.
Mm.
A villainess instead of watching Gleep. Gloop, Gleipner.
Yeah. So, what do you think, Danny?
I wrote a couple notes on the show.
Cringy as fuck.
Super fanservice-y.
Yep.
Like they've done this show has done more for the pussy shot from behind than any show in the recorded history of mankind. You know what I'm saying? Like when they do that, why do I need to look at like when the girl is talking? Why does the point of view need to be, you know, right under her ass crack, pointed up towards the person she's talking to?
You know what? Art. That's the only thing I can say. Art.
Like if they hire this guy, it's like, well, can you draw? And it's like, dude, I can draw the bulge of a pussy from the back the best. And they're like, we know we're going to use you, and we'll use you often because we're paying you a lot.
It is true. It definitely has some weird-ass camera angles.
And then the other thing, when the first episode that, like, immediately made me, like, realize the show could never happen in real life, is a woman using the word moist voluntarily and not kind of vomiting in her mouth a little bit.
I'm glad you're here to bring up some random ass shit, man.
You know, earlier you like mentioned your girlfriend, and I asked if she could hear you, and I wanted you to ask, just say the word moist and see her like physical reaction to that word.
Yeah, I don't think that one triggers her. So,
no, I think we've had this conversation maybe before, but yeah, that's like on the list of like words that need to go away from women. That's generally on the top of the list. my wife, she like has like a physical reaction and the negative to the word moist. And like I can't remember what comedian it was, but he had a joke about that. He's like, about him like baking a cake, and he's like, I'm gonna make a cake so good that you're gonna want to use the word moist. But then there was one part that like I think, and it's like a super minor detail in the first episode, that it was probably my favorite part of the whole show, was the part where he was like kind of looking through his locker.
Mm-hmm.
Like she stole his phone, and she was at PE, and so he like snuck into the girl's locker room to try to find his phone in her locker. And then they did a scene, he's like couldn't find it, and he's kind of defeated. He's like, where is my phone? She can't have it. She can't have it with her. And then they pan to her, and she's holding her phone, and she kind of looks to the camera and like gives like a knowing smile.
Yeah.
And then just carries on. And I thought that they would have more moments of that in the show, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just my thoughts on like overall basic generalness of the show. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, so the show is about basically people that have found coins, and if you turn the coin into this person that we discover to be an alien, he gives you powers based off your deepest desires. So there's all sorts of random monsters. And for whatever reason, the main character turns into like a mascot-looking dog that's very like somewhat creepy, somewhat not. But actually, and then the girl that is with him actually will jump inside his suit, which obviously where we get the moist the moist part.
And get in there, like strips into her down to her underwear every time.
Yeah, because so she doesn't ruin her clothes. So there's like all sorts of like purposely done, and again it goes into that on this newest episode that came out today as well. Honestly, outside of it being like to your point, well, to your like the random camera shots and fan service and stuff, it's like, there is actually a really interesting story going on that I do enjoy. It's not, I don't ever feel like it's, and maybe I just don't understand the anime side of horror, but because I don't really take it as a horror kind of show. It's definitely, I think it's dark. I think, you know, realistically people really are dying in the anime and being murdered. But I think it's a very different story, and I think it has a really interesting flow so far. You know, it is adult, is definitely a lot more adult themed from that aspect, but I think it has a pretty solid story. But yeah, I definitely feel like sometimes the fan service is either used as a joking way to break that up, or just to, you know, it's anime, so it's got to have fan service.
Right. I mean, the story, like you said, is something different. And, like, the mascot suit that he's wearing, for some reason, the first thing that popped in my head was, like, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, it kind of reminiscent of the main character or whatever it is that I've only ever seen it on, like, shirts and stuff. I've never played the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like something from that game.
Yeah. It's interesting because, like, the suit, for the most part, just has, like, a deadpan face to it. But you could tell, like, when he gets, like, emotional, like, the suit, like, takes on, like, the characters.
The panic.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because the main character is like kind of like the goody two shoes that doesn't want to get involved with this, but he's obviously not a very good fighter or anything. And then you go back, and then you go to the female, who's not a monster, that's very okay with getting into the suit, and she's like a fighter, and she's kind of like somewhat of a bad person. So it's like, it's very interesting. Those two are very interesting together because there is like a semi-romantic kind of relationship between them that's kind of starting to happen. But then you could, but then they have some very different values. So it right. just adds to the complexity of the story.
So, Sean,
yes,
do you think it's an intentional or unintentional, like this whole metaphor of he's the monster on the outside, but she's the monster on the inside, like both literally and physically, because he's a nice guy, like, but he's like where he's the monster when you see him, mm-hmm. and then she's like supposed to be like cute and sweet, but then inside she's a monster, but then she also climbs inside, so she's not only the monster inside of her, like as a person, but then physically the monster inside the monster that's not a monster.
No, I think that's an interesting way to put it. I actually didn't think about that and why she goes in there, but it is kind of portrayed that way,
right? I think the shitty beer has given me clarity, Sean. Like, as you're talking, you said that, like, he's a nice guy, but he's, like, the monster, and then she climbs inside, and she's, like, not nice, and I'm like, yeah, she's a monster on the inside, so he's a monster on the outside, and then she climbs inside, and she's the monster inside the monster.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like, I just need, like, that meme from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where Charlie Day's, like, has, like, the red strings and trying to prove the... Like, that's, like, I feel like that now. Like, or am I just trying too hard to make this anime, like, legit? And trying to excuse just, it's like that meme, another meme, where it's like, where you're playing a video game and it's like, you're fighting when no one's in the room, and then you walk in the room and it's like, Yennefer's, like, topless.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, the Australian, anime service called Kiss... something of another actually is really trying to like is pushing this show. Oh, Anime Lab, that's what it's called. It says things are hard to explain when your housemate walks in and it goes ... the Glyphanor edition, and it's her climbing into the suit and it says, wow, it's so sticky and moist. Like, see? That's like that's how they're like they're advertising it.
Right. This show is like, like, you could be watching the show and, like, nobody's in the room and he's walking around in the monster and they're talking, or they're just talking and they're, like, he's a human and talking to her and, like, in her clothes and stuff. But then the moment she, like, takes off her clothes and starts to climb inside, somebody's walking in the room.
Yeah. Hey, dude, that shit happened to me this morning. Like, literally, like, the one girl, Claire, the main girl, Claire, is, like, talking to this other girl about monsters and stuff and, you know, story progressing things, and like, you know, they start like they're stripping and they're talking and it's getting awkwardly intimate, and like I look over and my girlfriend is just like staring at me like, what the fuck are you watching? I'm like, why is it always like these parts that you always look over at?
Yeah, I can't remember what anime I was watching, but there was a moment like that in it, and my wife like was there and she like looked over at me, she's like, you know what, I'm just gonna go upstairs and leave you alone with this.
It's like, come on, man. Like, the, like it's not even like. I was like, I don't even know. And then it's like, you know.
This is just a subplot.
Literally, like, 17 minutes later of normal anime shit, and then, like, this other girl is talking to the main character, and she ends up taking off her clothes and going into the suit, so a little bit of a spoiler. And again, it's like, she looks over like, what the fuck? Why is it, what the hell is going on? Why is she naked? Why is she climbing in the back of that suit? Why is it moist? Like, I was like, I don't, stop. Just, if you're not going to watch the whole thing, you're not allowed to comment. That's like the new rule. That's got to be the new rule.
Right. Don't judge me on this one little bit.
Yeah. Whenever you pay attention to my show or game, you don't get to just start asking questions.
You know, but the problem was
that happened like last night too when I was finishing Zero. I was like on episode 23 and I'm just like, I was like, I can't even explain this anime to you. We're literally two episodes from being done. Like, I would have to explain 23 episodes for you to understand what's going on. Just go back to your homework. I'm not talking to you.
Right. Oh, man. The perils of being a weeb, I guess.
No, I just feel like that's just basic. I feel like that would happen. That happens with, like, anything.
Right, but that's what I was going to say, though. Like, the problem with, like, saying don't judge me is, like, saying don't tase me. It's too late. It's already happening.
That's true.
Like, that taser's already being fired as you're saying don't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me, bro. Please.
It's like, don't judge me. It's too late. You've already been judged. Judgment has been passed.
True that. Oh, man. That's my life.
Exactly.
I don't even know what to say anymore.
I don't either. I think that's a good point to wrap up the show.
All right, everybody. If you want some more weeb-fantastic stuff, make sure you check out previous episodes. Stay tuned for more fantastic weeb shit that we didn't even get to on this show for a weeb-fantastic time. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those fabulous places. Make sure you're giving us a review. I'm going to steal Danny's thunder. So that way we could get more people will look at us and listen to the show, even though they don't want to.
It's like, oh, man.
Give it to
them. Stockholm Syndrome.
That's how it is.
But pity reviews are nice too, you know. Even if you like know people that wouldn't listen, but they have like an iTunes account, just tell them to throw us a 5-star review, anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Give them a cookie; they'll do it. People love cookies.
Maybe I should like start to do a giveaway, like stickers or something like that. If people give us reviews, we have stickers.
You might as well. We gotta do something.
Right, and they're awesome. They have our mascot, Sir Hoppyhead. He's classy as fuck because he's got a monocle.
Yeah, exactly. How can you not enjoy the show?
Exactly.
All right, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Later.